Hello and welcome back to the EFL Freezer Crowd podcast. As always, I'm joined by Andy.
Afternoon, James.
Afternoon. And Luke.
All right, gentlemen, how are we?
Yeah, not too bad. In a week where Dean can't hold on to his job, James Coppinger shows again why he's Donny's golden boy, and Bradford prove too many cooks don't spoil the broth. Welcome back to the pod.
Twat! That was liquid football!
Liquid football, two up top, 2-0 against Brentford. Thank you very much. I'm back.
Too good.
Coventry win, and God, that feels good. God, that feels so good. We've absolute masterclass. Been saying it for a little while now. We need to play two up front. Finally got the couple of players back from fitness that have allowed us to do it properly. I think we've used Barnsley as a bit of a blueprint. Watched what they did against Brentford. Done a job on them. Bloody brilliant.
Yeah, what Robin said, like, oh, what we did well is we got after them. And I think that's what you need to do against the best teams in this league. Play a bit of high-risk, high-reward football. You've got the players to do that, I think. Like, you think of, like, the Costa, Dabo, Walker's back, O'Hare, Hamer when he bothers to press. You've got the players to do it. I think this could be it.
Having a pop at the player of the season.
Couldn't agree more. The only thing I would say is I wish maybe we'd done it a little bit sooner, but perhaps the injuries have stopped us from doing it. But yeah, we've got about half an hour in, and having my usual weekly chat with my old man as we're watching the game from our separate houses, and we're going, God, we're actually doing all right here, pressing well. And then he just goes, yeah, I think we might tire though. Nice to see us be able to keep that up for 90 minutes. And we did, we got in their faces. Look, not going to lie, they had a few injuries. Tony being a big one for them, but still, yeah, we've done a job on them, to be honest. We've got in their faces, pressed really well. Both goals have come from forced mistakes, and finally put away a couple of chances as well. I feel like maybe we could have scored more in the first half, but we won't be greedy.
Yeah, that save from that O'Hare volley was from David Herrera. Is just, how's he saved that?
It's hit so hard as well. It looks like it should take him into the goal, but you know, no, it's a good save. Good save. Thankfully, Rea makes up for it later on with a loose pass, which Bayamu intercepts for the press working again into Walker. And I tell you what, that turn and finish is what we have been missing for weeks. We said we're a number nine. We're a number nine away from pulling off a couple of results, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here, but perhaps we've just found that number nine.
Yeah, as the self-proclaimed stat man of this podcast, here's one for you, James. 40% of Tyler Walker's championship goals this season have been missed by iFollow, and that was another one.
What a stat that is. What an absolute stat that is. Yeah, I was watching the game, and I'm on a little group chat with a few people that we were going to watch the games with. My uncle messages going, how have they missed that? And he must have been about 30 seconds ahead of me on his stream. And and I've got my Sky Go linked up to my TV, and I'm thinking, oh, great. Here comes a big Brentford chance, or maybe we've missed one. And then the commentary's going on. It's showing a little replay of a previous chance. And all we hear in the background is, it's a goal. And I'm like, which bloody end is the goal? great stat. Great stat.
Yeah, I would say, you know, self-proclaimed stat man. I mean, it wasn't iFollow this week. It was the Sky TV cameras, because, of course, it was on Sky.
Sky missed it as well.
So iFollow were probably using Sky's footage, Luke. So just sticking up for iFollow.
Sticking up.
Don't ever stick up for iFollow. They do away with the blooming thing. Yeah, great weekend. A few results didn't necessarily go our way, but we've got to build on that now. And Swansea coming up next is going to be very difficult.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it was a pretty important win, because if you look at the table, it doesn't actually look that much better than when we started the weekend. It's not to bring you back down again.
Not sure why I'm laughing. No, it doesn't. And I think maybe that's why it was such an important win. yeah, the table doesn't read well, especially with the teams below us having a game or two in hand. You look at Rotherham, if they've got a couple, but sometimes you'd rather have the points on the board, so let's see what they do. Yeah, not much more we can do, though, than turn up and beat Brentford 2-0. So, good win. Tough one coming up next. In the middle of a tough run as well. I mean, we've said about it before, but coming up against Cardiff at the start of this little run, and obviously look at them now. Watford got a draw. Pants pulled down by Norwich, but hey-ho. We 3 points against Brentford, and then Swansea to finish this difficult run. If you get anything at Swansea and you're coming away from that run with sort of 4, 5, 6 points, says six, definitely not going to be six, and and you're thinking, actually not done too bad. So, yeah, we'll take it. But like you say, still plenty to worry about with the table.
Yeah, but one thing you haven't done there, James, is, you know, delved into midweek much. But as the resident Millwall fan, I think that's all we should be focusing on this week, isn't it? Because the weekend games. you've had a little pop at iFollow, and I certainly did not purchase it this week to see Millwall face Wickham.
I think when I asked you about the game this weekend, I think your words were, it's going to be a horrible one to watch, or something along those lines.
Said, don't watch, it will be horrible.
And you weren't far wide of the mark there, I don't think.
Luckily, I can take other people's word. I can take their word for it, because I did not watch it. And unfortunately, I did watch the game against Birmingham midweek. You know, we don't want to be too pessimistic on this, but I mean, we are. It was an absolutely dreadful game. I'd be surprised if there's a worse game in the Championship this season. I mean, how we've won 2-0, I don't know. I mean, Birmingham were better than us. I mean, they were still awful. I don't know how those two teams are getting any points, to be honest. And you'd think, you know, bad performance. We've turned a draw into a win for once. Let's build on it. Let's go for Wickham. Wickham have really got nothing to play for now, have they? Just playing for a little bit of pride. And five at the back at home.
Knew where that was going, didn't you?
Five at the back at home.
Oh dear.
Seemingly throughout the whole game as well. Not even sure we changed it properly. Maybe right at the end.
Didn't watch.
Judging by the subs. So it's just sort of 8 games without a loss. So we can't be sat here really pessimistic after 8 games without a loss. But it's just less of what it does to you. At least when we win a game, you know, make it look good, get a few good performances in. Have Tyler Walker slot a few into the corner. Then just lob it up to whoever. It looks like we're going to just settle for the mid-table spots now. I mean, a win against Wickham would have really lifted us up and got us involved in the race, shall I say. But
yeah, I think that's where what I was about to say, really. I think that's probably the most disappointing bit about it is that, like you say, with all respect to Wickham, most teams have obviously at least scored against them, if not beaten them. And you know, you kind of think a good chance to build on the run that you're on and actually push on. You've seen how well teams like Cardiff have managed to make the most of a good little run. If you could have done that yourself, and 3 points Saturday would really have left you in with a chance. Plenty of time to go, though. Never know. One thing I will say is David Stockdale in goal for Wickham. There was something weird about him this week. I feel like he played a game for Stevenage 3 days ago, and then was brought in as an emergency loan and played a game for Wickham against Millwall at the weekend, which, busy boy, not the youngest either. And seriously, some seriously good saves against Millwall. He pulled off a couple of really good saves. I was going to say hilariously. Not sure it is funny if you're a Wickham fan.
Or a Millwall fan.
The person, whoever it might be, who is in charge of doing the post-match interviews or summing up the game at the end on iFollow, totally slagged off their normal goalkeeper, Allsop, and said, thank God we had Stockdale in goal. Pretty sure Allsop wouldn't have saved a couple of those, which is pretty harsh, considering he's probably going to be back between the sticks for their next game. But yeah, 0-0. On another day, you probably could have scored. He made a really good double save where he's actually already on the floor and manages to just get, I think it might be a knee on it from Jed Wallace. I feel like maybe I'm just filling you in on the game now, though, because you didn't watch it. So, 0-0, we'll move on.
And Carlisle have played this weekend, have they, Luke? Game's back on. Sun's out, shining. 3 points.
No 3 points, but you go into the best home side in the league in Salford. Unbeaten at home all season, Salford, and they've got some easy games coming up, so I think they could do it. Yeah. Go the whole season at home unbeaten. Sure. But I'm not going to make excuses. I think it was fairly even, but the table's just not looking too great now. Yes, you've got games in hand, but now you're not picking up so many points. It's worrying after being in such a good position for so long.
A little bit like this podcast. If Bennett maybe pulled his weight a bit, they might have had a bit of a better result. Yeah, he got booked. Commentary wasn't too kind about him. However, they were very kind about a certain Hayden. Almost scored.
Played
ridiculously well. Put his body on the line twice. Two goal line clearances from Hayden. Nothing more than you'd expect. But no. Yeah, I think a few choice words for Bennett. Needs to pick it back up a little bit. But like you say, last week you were talking about that potential to still be favourites for the for promotion. But it's always hard when you've got so many games in hand to kind of pick up from where you left off when you have that break and you get kind of a mix of weather and I think maybe some COVID postponements. It's hard to put a run together, and you never know. If you get one win, you can kind of maybe get that run going again. But yeah, the league's not looking too great at the moment, but I have to keep an eye on it with those games in hand, I think.
This is just ridiculous.
That sound clip could probably be used every week in the Championship this season. It's, as always, the most ridiculous of divisions. But I spoke about Coventry's difficult run earlier, and we played Brentford probably at a good time after they just suffered a couple of defeats. And we've got Swansea next, and perhaps not a bad time to play them. They've turned up against a Huddersfield side who sit bottom of the form table. Swansea themselves find themselves top of the form table. So obviously, 4-1 Huddersfield. Only way that was going to go. Literally, this is just ridiculous. You can't write the Championship, can you? And 4-1 Huddersfield, didn't see that coming.
No, I mean, Huddersfield winless in the last 10 before that game. Although they are the only side to win at Swansea this season. Yeah. So maybe we could have seen it coming there. They've done the double over them. Surprise. Yeah, so the only other side to put 3 past Swansea this season were Man City in the Cup. Huddersfield, they've got 4. So, I mean, I'm draw some your own conclusions better at home.
Fraser Campbell scored the first. How long has he been about? He's been part of the Championship furniture for years. They were shooting from everywhere, Huddersfield, and they were all just like flying in. Like Bakuna even hit the inside of the post that almost made it 2-0. We'll probably come on to the goal, the fourth one last, because it might be goal of the week contender. But yeah, they just looked like a different team. They created loads of chances. They had about, I think it was 59% possession. And that's the Championship. I think Thomas Frank said that after the Coventry game. His excuse was, oh, this is the Championship. It happens. It is. That's just the Championship.
Is that an excuse?
It's the only one you need, Andy. It's the only one you need.
Okay.
0-0 at Wickham. Championship.
It's the Championship.
You're absolutely spot on. And at times they played some unbelievable football, little triangles building up to great chances. And like you say, that possession stat, again, I can't see many teams having that much possession against this Swansea side. So I don't know whether maybe we've cursed a few teams, because over recent weeks we've said that it looked like Brentford and Swansea would go on to take the top 2 places. Yeah. Have a look what's happened there.
I mean, I don't think we've really been full of praise for Huddersfield before on this show, but we definitely are this week. Just wave after wave of attack. Rowe, Bakuna and Holmes just look like completely different players this week. And I don't think Swansea were missing anyone. Maybe it's just a little bit of fatigue game after game in this division. But and I don't want to say it again, it just happens, doesn't it?
Another classic Championship surprise result thrown in. QPR managing to get a result against Bournemouth. I say surprise. On a bit of a run, actually, QPR, to be fair. So perhaps not a surprise. But the way that Woodgate's kind of I don't know, maybe picked up a bit of form with Bournemouth. I didn't expect QPR to go there and win, but on the back of playing Bournemouth, Brentford and Watford and beating all three, perhaps QPR have hit a bit of form and some of those January signings are coming good now.
Yeah, they're sort of quietly moving up the table, aren't they? That's four wins in a row. I mean, as you say, Bournemouth were keeping clean sheets and conceding 350 minutes of football. I hate it when people do it in minutes, but I just have. So I think we haven't conceded in about that amount of time. What should we do? Let's pass it straight to Stefan Janssen and let him have one. Boy, he's taking it.
Just a few, yeah. Another one that's weird, Shane Long in the Championship, managing to get a goal for Bournemouth. Should have had two on the day. But yeah, dropped down to the Championship and might kick on. But yeah, great result for QPR. And like you say, quietly moved up the table and hit a bit of form. And it was interesting to hear Warburton just saying that we're not a good side, not defensively, we're not a good side when we sit back, but we're a good side when we press on. And it seemed like maybe they're starting to do that a little bit more and have hit a bit of form. And as I say, some of those signings in January are now starting to gel and it looks like it could be coming good for QPR.
Yeah, Mark Warburton said that after the game, like the pressing has been the reason they've been playing so well. That last goal, that the one that ended up being the winner, reminded me of that Tyler Walker goal. So maybe that's what you've got to do against the teams at the top half of the table is just press them. I think the rumours about Henry coming, after Shane Long missed that one-on-one, he probably just thought, I can't coach this. Give it to Woodgate.
Yeah, it was the... Shane Long against Charlie Austin that game. I mean, if that isn't two sort of Championship strikers there that you just love to see every single season, I don't know what is. But yeah, I mean,
more of that,
it was
please.
It was all about Henri, wasn't it, that game for some reason? And now it's turned out he's not going to be given the job. So, I mean, they're appointing Woodgate until the end of the season. I mean, I'm not sure. Is it the sensible option or is it Bournemouth doing the same thing again like they did with Tindall? Cheapest option, just waiting for the next season, seeing what happens. I mean, not that any of us here would have thought Henry would have done a good job, but I mean, he's a bigger name pushing the boat out there. I mean, they were linked to David Wagner and even Patrick Vieira as well. So I guess what I'm saying is, why have they gone for the appointment that is the worst content for this podcast?
Moving on to a team who I said last week I didn't want to poke too much fun at or laugh at too much, but they were making me feel a little bit better. Bristol City, the horrific run continues. Three wins in 13, 41 goals conceded, sat the manager. What a run.
It's 42 now. It's 42 now. Yeah, only Huddersfield and Wickham have conceded more goals than Bristol City now. And for a team that were in the playoffs not that long ago, it feels like last week, and feel like they were going to do something. I don't know where it's come from. You'll have to, the players look like they've given up, to be honest, for the sounds of something fans are making. And it just is going from bad to worse, and they really need to get that next appointment right, don't they? I don't know who's going to get that job. Appleton's in the mix, which wouldn't be a bad appointment. But something needs to change because this season has gone south.
Yeah, it has. And football in the southwest, particularly Bristol, isn't exactly great right now. But yeah, that appointment needs to be right. It also, in my opinion, needs to happen fairly quickly because if it stays like this, it's not going to go well. Like you say, Appleton in the mix, although in the midweek he did do an interview totally distancing himself from the job, which you would expect. But he said, basically, the link seems to have come from the CEO, Ashton, having worked with Appleton before. And Appleton actually said, well, I've been linked with jobs with him in three different clubs or something now. My focus is on Lincoln.
And I took the last two.
About time I stopped. No, if I was him, I wouldn't move. Putting a great season together, great team together at Lincoln. And actually, no one seems to be able to make it work at Bristol City right now. So,
and I think I wouldn't move right now anyway. Next couple of games, away at Middlesbrough, away at Swansea, home to Bournemouth. It doesn't look like it's going to get any better. And dare we say it, could Bristol City be dragged into a relegation battle?
Yes. I would say definitely. If they can't turn it around, I mean, look at that run. Registering like one shot a game at the moment is not good enough. And actually, in terms of the scrap down there, I've said before about teams like Rotherham and no, I won't dare say Coventry, but teams like Rotherham have got that, I think, maybe learnt a little bit from the past and look like they could scrap a little bit more at the moment. Look at the personnel that Bristol City have got available in terms of, you know, they've got loads of injuries, clearly. But also some of those players, there's a lot of luxuries in there for me. Would they be willing to? Would they be able to scrap? I'm not so sure they would. So they need to turn it around quickly. Otherwise, I think they'll find themselves in that scrap. I saw an interview with Callas at the weekend blaming virtually everyone but himself, saying the attack aren't good enough, not taking chances, not creating chances. Looked like a broken man, to be honest. For some weird reason, the fans were getting behind it, which not something I would want to hear from my captain, to be honest. He literally blamed everyone else other than the defence, and you conceded at the end of the day. So not great for them. Not great at all for them. On the flip side, lost to Barnsley. Team on an absolute great run, and that takes Carlton Morris to 3-3 now, coming off the bench, and surely in the hunt for a playoff spot.
Yeah, 4 points off the playoffs, game in hand. A completely different team to last year when Ishmael took over. They looked like a really good pressing team last year that weren't lucky to escape relegation. They looked too good for it because their performances were just, they were just missing a striker. Their conversion rate was through the floor. And when Ishmael took over, you thought, maybe they'll be in a relegation battle again this year. And certain players like Woodrow and Chaplin have just stepped up, and they've also got Adebayo off the bench as another option. That it's all working really, really well.
Yeah, I mean, Callum Stiles, I think, is arguably their player of the season this year, has been good. And obviously everyone knows Alex Mowat in midfield. I mean, that performance they gave against Chelsea in the cup just showed the world exactly what we've been seeing in the Championship. Like, not sure, well, if the world was watching that game, but just the pressing is incredible from Barnsley. And we say the Bristol City are going in one direction. So are Barnsley at the moment. It's those form teams that just come out of nowhere and take the playoff spots. And I think we could be seeing it again. If anything, they've gone too soon.
Yeah. It's interesting watching Barnsley because, like you say, that press, that intensity has been, well, it's been awesome, to be honest. I think they are a team that have, like you say, I mean, they escaped the drop in quite lucky circumstances. Let's be honest about it. Wigan obviously dropping for the reasons they did meant that Barnsley were able to stay up on the last day. But like you say, some of the performances last year showed what they were capable of. And then they've been able to really build on that squad. It's so important if you can stay up for that one season, and then it gives you a chance to really put some depth in place. And they have this habit now of making sort of 2-3 subs at the same time. And obviously the 5 subs at the moment is playing right into their hands because they need fresh legs off the bench to be able to keep that intensity up for 90 minutes. But yeah, the depth for them is awesome. I know you listed quite a few players there. They brought in DK, who is, comes with a bit of a reputation from the States, and it's going to be interesting to see how he gets on. But yeah, like you say, one direction for Barnsley, and Stiles is taking them there.
That's just what makes James beautiful, that sort of comment, isn't it? Only song I could name, baby. Yeah. And it took a while.
You were just talking about teams who hit form at the right time to try and get that kind of, steal that maybe last or sort of last two places that are up for grabs usually in the playoff hunt. And a team transformed is Cardiff. Big Mix come in and what a run they've put together. And another great 3 points for them to Parmore Misery on Preston on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, we've been big fans of, I've been a big fan of Neil Harris on this podcast. So and we didn't like to see him go, but I mean, what a decision it's been from Cardiff's point of view to... And then to appoint McCarthy, a lot of eyebrows raised there from himself mainly. It does, not to put a Millwall spin on it again, but it does remind you of, you know, when we sacked Harris, well, when Harris left last season, Rowett came over and then we just went on this incredible rise. I mean, I don't know if there's something that what Harris is doing with the players, they enjoy something new, but Mick has turned it around, hasn't he? I mean, Kiefer Moore's got 6 in 7 since McCarthy took over. He's obviously getting the best out of him. And I think they're the team, in my opinion. I mean, we've talked about Barnsley, but with the Wilson signing and getting the best out of Moore seems like two of the best players in the division at the moment. And I'd be very surprised if they didn't keep it up. And what a mad game against Preston.
Yeah, I fully agree. You know, you talk about that transformation. It's they've gone from 13 points off the playoffs to 3 points off sixth since McCarthy's come in. And like you say, he's really getting the best out of some of those players. You can't say that the team that was built wasn't good, because it was good. But like you say, maybe Harris just didn't quite know how to get the best out of them. And McCarthy's certainly come in and done that. The you say a mental game. There was actually... there was 5 penalties, I think, saved across the EFL this weekend, and 2 of them coming from that Cardiff game. And what a mad 30 seconds to a minute that was. I mean, the first penalty is classic Gallagher. Refuses to look at the goalkeeper, walks away, turns around, sprints at it, saved. And then, Aidan Flint goes flying in on the rebound and gives away another penalty, which...
You love to see that, though, don't you? Because I mean, yeah, it's tough to give them. But, you know, this has to be a pen.
This is so... Yeah, exactly. You don't expect the ref to give it, do you? But he does. And, so Ched Evans steps up to take it. And you're thinking, oh, surely they can't miss 2 in 30 seconds. Surely they can. 2 penalties taken and 2 good saves from Phillips. And,
yeah, let's give the keeper a bit of praise, shall we?
Yeah, definitely. 2 good saves, goes the right way both times. And obviously gives Cardiff a real platform. McCarthy praised the keeper as well. And they've gone on to win comfortably. And like I say, Preston not looking too good at the moment after Luke suggested perhaps some of those signings were starting to gel last week. They would do a classic curse of the podcast for us.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. I think that they just benefited from a really out of form Blackburn who have run out of ideas. 2 losses this week. Another one in a 1-0 at home to Watford. So I take back everything I said, because clearly Preston... aren't making things gel, but Cardiff are. Maybe it's the long Mick McCarthy hair making him look like Doc from Back to the Future. Maybe he's seen into the future a little bit and you can see what's going wrong. I don't know, but they've scored 16 in 7 now, Cardiff. It's not just coming from Kiefer Moore. The whole team has gelled really well, and they're definitely in with a playoff spot.
Yeah, I would say on Preston, I mean, a team that we did have hopes for, especially after that transfer window. They just look devoid now, don't they? That they look like they're
there's that
magic word, yeah. Devoid of all ideas and confidence. I mean, you could just tell by the way they reacted after that penalty drama. It was 2-0 at that point. Chance to get in it 2-1. Absolute disaster. And then the defending for the 3rd and 4th Cardiff goals was abysmal. Abysmal. I mean, talk about reacting well. I mean, Alex Neil must have been tearing his... No.
There was some interesting news coming out of Stoke this weekend ahead of their fixture against Luton, and long-time player Ryan Shawcross finally leaving Stoke and going over the pond. I mean, not a move that I expected to see.
Yeah, I think I put this on our Twitter page, @3'sacrowdpod. Has there ever been a bigger change of scenery from one team to another? Stoke on Trent to Miami, Florida. Miami on Florida. Absolute definition of a lovely old job, isn't it? I guess there's some links with Beckham somewhere with that. I mean, Shawcross started his career at Man United. I don't know what's gone on, but it's a strange move. But we're going to miss him as well, aren't we? He's spent a lot of time in the Premier League, but he's also been an EFL stalwart and always drama. He's about.
And we're also talking about Stoke, obviously. Great win for them against the away team that are just so good away from home, Luton. And as we referred to last week. And rather than deciding to win this week, they thought... they'd get a couple of assists for themselves and play Stoke in a couple of times just to really give themselves an uphill battle. yeah, Stoke made it look easy. Fletcher getting on the score sheet again. Not quite sure what happened to Luton. And that is a post-match interview I wish I'd seen, actually, with Nathan Jones there. I wonder if he's feeling physically sick again.
Yeah, we've seen... it's been more interesting off the pitch, though, for Stoke after that game. Some social media drama. I mean, we've seen how the Stoke players obviously feel about Nathan Jones. It looked like the Luton players feel the same way from some of that defending again that game. But yeah, I mean, some fan has tweeted a picture of some meme that Nathan Jones's funeral or something. I mean, there's nothing funny about it. And then some of the Stoke players have joined in with the laughter. I mean, the most unprofessional thing. Surely they know they shouldn't be doing that. Josh Tymon and currently injured Tyrese Campbell obviously didn't get on best with Nathan Jones. Yeah, so I think they could be reprimanded by the club pretty soon.
Points all round. I love that you just...
It does.
He does give them on the pod as well, maimed them.
Well, I don't think we've got the biggest audience compared to their Twitter feed. But it does give you a little insight into what some of those Stoke players obviously thought of life under Nathan Jones. So,
elsewhere in the Championship, we obviously saw the Watford take the 3 points in the Friday night game against Derby, which keeps their good run going and puts the brakes on that good run under Rooney for Derby, perhaps. I know he wasn't too impressed with... couple of decisions that went against him. Sheffield Wednesday saw their home run come to an end with finishing the game with 10 men, which personally felt was a little harsh. And Birmingham pick up a massive 3 points in their fight for survival. We also saw Forest get a pretty big 3 points against a Blackburn Rovers, which Luke has referred to before as looking totally out of ideas. I've said it before, I'll say it again. No plan B, Mowbray. Forest looking like they might... Well, not might, like they definitely have enough to escape that kind of relegation battle now. So, good week in the Championship.
Call this a soccer riot? Come on, boys, let's take them to school.
Groundskeeper Willie with his best Darren Drysdale impression there. And... just another bit of Ipswich content as well. I can't really say a bad word about it. It's what I want to be seeing every week, mainly for the sake of this podcast.
Those Ipswich games did need livening up, didn't they? I mean, if Lambert's not going to do it, Darren Drysdale said, yeah, he said, I'll do it for you. Don't worry about it, Paul. But obviously everyone's heard about this. I mean, first of all, it's funny. Second of all, it's, well... it's hilarious.
yeah, third of all, it's funny and hilarious.
Laugh inducing. but what some people might not know that hasn't really got too much attention is this guy's actually a sergeant in the RAF. I mean, if there was one referee that should be able to keep his cool in a tough situation... I mean, I don't know if he's seen any action or anything, but I think Alan Judge having a few choice words with him is going to be the scariest thing he's ever seen.
All those years in the RAF of training, and I assume there's some pretty rigorous processes to get to be a sergeant. And he's ended up as an EFL referee. And B, how on earth is he losing his cool in that situation?
That's right, but he has caused others to lose their cool in the past. Not that it's taken much to make Dean Windass lose his cool. But in 2007, Windass actually received a 5-match ban for swearing at him in a car park after a game. So he really gets involved, doesn't he, with some of the key players.
I've got so many questions about this.
I've never heard that. Why is that a 5-match ban?
Give him man of the match.
Yeah, I mean that sort of covers Ipswich, doesn't it, for one week? I mean, no goals, one scrap for the referee. Yeah,
Paul Lambert launched an investigation into him because clearly the results were so bad he needed some distraction tactics. Like, do you need an investigation into that? Well, not even Alan Judge wanted it. He was just like, yeah, it's fine, nothing.
And also, the word investigation seems quite. big for this.
It's on TV.
You know, like an investigation in the situation. Well, we watched it back and he's put his head into someone and sworn. come on. There's absolutely no investigation needed, Paul. Idiot.
I just want to see how the rest of that game went. You know, how did he command any authority after that? You know, surely every single player was like, all right, calm down, Darren. Calm down. Do your job, mate.
All right, Sarge.
They didn't know, clearly.
Clearly not. I've actually got a bit of a soft spot for Darren. He's
Well, we all do now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think that could be a new feature. Drysdale watch. I don't know how big his ban is. He certainly wasn't refereeing this weekend.
No, he was taken off a game this weekend, wasn't he? Unfortunately, in my opinion. But yeah. You say he's got previous. He's refereed couple of big games for Coventry and given some absolutely fantastic decisions in our favour. And now look at us. So big up yourself, Darren. Sergeant Darren, I call him. But no, in all seriousness, you're absolutely right. There's not a lot for Ipswich fans to be too happy with at the moment. And if there's something that summed it up, it's Andy's favourite loney, Troy Parrott, missing a chance from 3 yards out at the weekend. So... Ipswich fans visibly annoyed now, turning up at training grounds, which who am I to stop them? But you've got Lambert seemingly having a meltdown in a midweek interview as well. You've got Sergeant Darren getting involved. It's just all go down there at Ipswich, isn't it? Well, you say all go. 2-0 on the bounce and in absolute turmoil.
Yeah, we saw the fans outside of the... training ground setting off flares and all sorts, and now there's rumours of a player mutiny as well. I don't know what sort of contract Lambert's on here to not be sacked, or he obviously doesn't want to walk away without his payoff. But we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. Can I say that? Or you're libel. Holloway Mark 2. See you at the airport.
see you in the car park,
Daz. And we talked there about obviously Ipswich 2-0 on the bounce, not necessarily putting themselves out there as the entertainers at the moment. There was a slightly more entertaining game though in League One. Doncaster against Hull had all the ingredients, really. Two teams up there scrapping to try and get themselves in those promotion spots. And, well, the result didn't let us down, did it?
No, 3 goals apiece. Can't complain, can you? I mean, the way the game's gone couldn't have been more perfect for the ending there for James Coppinger as well, the old boy. But, I mean, Hull 3-1 up at half-time as well. Malik Wilkes is really coming to his own this season. He got 14 now for the season.
Yeah, and obviously Hull 2-0 up after 25 minutes and then leading 3-1 at half-time. Realistically, you've got to be seeing off that result. And Doncaster, at that point, you're thinking, well, the bad run's sort of looking like it might continue. Wasn't to be. And obviously in the second half, they've come out fighting. And as you say, that Coppinger free kick, I mean, the game was set up for him. He's designed the kit. They've given him those boots before kickoff. And then he gets a free kick on the edge of the box. And what a finish from the old boy.
The scenes we like to see, isn't it? You know, 40-year-old Coppinger in his final season for the club. I mean, EFL legend, if not the number one spot. You know, we should have a show dedicated just to him at some stage.
You've got to take nothing away from the actual finish as well. He's got a lot to do still. The technique is unreal. And what better time to do it? Because I think Doncaster were desperate for that result, really.
Yeah, I mean, they've got games in hand still, Doncaster. So, I mean, they're in a really good position in the league. But I think if you looked at that game before, you would have said draw written all over it. Definitely not the way it panned out, though.
Talking to those teams who obviously in League One are now fighting for those promotion places, you've got Peterborough on an absolute storming run at the moment. I mean, with Smodic, Dembele and Johnson Clark-Harris in the form that they're in at the moment, they do look unstoppable, and another great result for them against Wimbledon.
Yeah, a lot's been made about Peterborough's pitch, hasn't it? I mean, we've mentioned it in the last couple of weeks about how bad it is. And even with the weather improving, it doesn't seem to have improved that much. But, you know, they've got the best home record in the division by quite... They've scored the most goals anyway by quite a few. So if those front three like the pitch like that, I mean, keep it like that all year round. Keep it like that in the summer. Keep it like that next season. Smozic is going to keep banging in the goals. He looks like one of the players of the division now, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. And you get the old combine harvester out over the summer months to keep that box looking in the state it looks. Yeah, yeah. Like you say, Smodic's looking like a player of the division. You've got Clark Harris on 18 goals, although his goal on Saturday, which was a tackle that ended up into the net. They all count, as they say.
That's league one.
There you go. Yeah, and exactly. So I wouldn't want to argue against those potentially winning this division now, to be honest. They're on an absolute run. And like you say, that home form, unbelievable, front three. And I know we've talked a lot about injuries across the EFL this season, but they look like a side who have managed to kind of come through pretty unscathed at the moment, and it's playing right into their hands for this promotion push. So looking good for them.
Yeah, if you move on to a game that was quite a feisty affair, a Burton side who haven't conceded many this season, well, since Jimmy Floyd took over, that is, against a Sunderland team who have had a change in fortunes as well under Lee Johnson. 3-0 for Sunderland there. And I mean, really, really feisty game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was everything again that we love to see on this podcast. And like you say, both teams picked up a bit of form. I certainly didn't see 3-0 coming because Burton seemed to have tightened it up at the back. But as you say, what a great bit of feistiness in that game. Luke, I know you wanted to talk about this.
Yeah, 8 yellow cards, two of them for Josh Earl, and a lovely bit of handbags at dawn. And you think it's not going to make much made of it. And then there's a little scrap. There's a little scrap by the advertising boards, and Aidan O'Brien goes over the top of them and think, ah, oh, yes. Forget that Lee Johnson's on a charge with Sunderland. That's what you want to see.
I wanted to see Lee Johnson on a charge towards those advertising boards. So a bloke who'd probably do it as well.
Sunderland need a little bit of fight in them. And so what do? They sign Aidan O'Brien from Millwall. And what does he do? He gets pushed over an advertising hoarding. I mean, the change in Sunderland's fortunes has also coincided with the change in Aidan O'Brien's hairstyle as well. Shaved the top off, grown out of a beard. I mean, he looked like a Mitchell brother. And boy, did he perform like one that day. The smaller one. I think what's interesting from that game as well, I mean, I'm sure we've all seen that, sorry if I'm pronouncing his name wrong, Kirill Louis-Dreyfus, Sunderland's new chairman. That was the first game he watched, 23 years of age. So, I mean,
than all of us.
Yeah, let's hope he's played his football manager and things, and he knows what he's doing behind the scenes there, because if there's a team that needed a bit of stability and needed to progress, they've gone for the Netflix approach once again.
Yeah, I was going to say, it absolutely stinks of a season three of Sunderland Till I Die. And as you well know, that is something I would love to see. But to be fair, if it goes well, I mean, what a week for him. New owner comes in who seems to have the backing. He's got a hell of a lot of money inherited. You've also got that Wembley trip now booked in a game that on paper they should win. They're on winning form. Lee Johnson seems to have changed their fortunes despite that long-term injury to Willis last week. And they're also fighting on the pitch as well as Wyke flying in front of goal. So what's not to love if you're a Sunderland fan at the moment? And into probably game of the day in League One, MK Dons against Northampton. MK Dons on a decent little run and Northampton looking to try and put a performance in. And 4-3, what a result that is for MK Dons. Kept it tight in recent weeks at the back after obviously bringing in Harry Darling. Seemingly not so watertight this week.
No, Darling was one that we mentioned on our transfer special. I say we. And he's done really well since joining. I think the thing that stands out from the MK Dons team is something you mentioned, James. Just some absolute classic EFL players in there, aren't there?
You've got... three goal scorers in that MK Dons team today. You've got Sermon, Jerome and Grigg. I mean, that is just, if that doesn't sum up the EFL, then I don't know what does.
And all good goals from them, especially Sermon yesterday. Absolutely superb hit. Just the classic left foot hit you expect from him. Yeah, I just thought he was going to turn away wearing a Bournemouth shirt there, but no.
Takes his shirt off and it's just the red and black stripes underneath.
It's just the real mix of experience, like you mentioned there, and then having Joe Mason up front's got a couple of goals now. Scott Fraser's one of the players the division expected him to move to the Championship when he moved from Burton to MK. Dean Lewington's still playing. I mean, it's a real season now for MK where they've got to try and push towards the playoffs. But luckily they've, maybe from a lapse of concentration from Northampton at the end there, they've got all 3 points.
Yeah, exactly as you say. I think the blend's good. The manager seems to know his squad. He's added, the additions in January look really good, considering people were worried about the loss of someone like Richard Keogh. But yeah, Northampton, that last goal, you think of 3-0, right? We'll have to take that now. They just switch off from a quick free kick, and it's obviously, well, it's a great bit of play from MK Dons to kind of have the initiative to do it. But just wake up if you're Northampton. Just stay switched on.
Yeah, they've got a real opportunity there because four of the bottom six lost. Swindon, the only other team to get a win. And when you're ahead like that, you just try and tighten it up. Like, I know it's easier said than done against those players, but you've got an opportunity to gain some ground in that relegation fight. But it's not looking too good for them now.
The proof is in the pudding, and the pudding in this case is a football.
And talking of puddings, what about the cooks, eh? Too many cooks spoil the broth? I think not at Bradford. Cooks linking up there, cook to cook twice, and another win in this phenomenal Bradford run under Truman and Sellers.
Yeah, that's 7 out of their last 11 they've won now. Who would have thought they would have turned it around so well? 8 matches unbeaten Cheltenham were before the cooks came along, and really it was a recipe for success, wasn't it? With those two playing in the same team, added a lot of spice to the performance.
Cambridge also managing to really put their promotion push that step further, beating Mansfield, who now got the second worst home record, and Clough really needs to be focusing on turning that one around. Clearly, Mullin still flying. He's now got 22 in 30 games, which is some record for him. And the push from Cambridge is looking really, really strong at the moment.
Yeah, they look like a great side. And just proving how much of a good side they look, I actually wrote down that game in my League One notes by accident. So, I mean, that sums up where I think Cambridge should be right now, especially if Mullin carries on his form. But a player who we talked about in the same breath at the start of the season, Giovanni Brown, he's just stopped scoring. And since then, Colchester have hardly won a game. Of the Colchester, without a win in 12, Crawley won their first game in 5 against them. Not looking good for either of those sides. But, I mean, Mark Wright, I think, is that the first game they've won since Mark Wright signed?
In other news, in the division, we saw quite a strange move for Daryl Clark, deciding that his time was kind of up at Walsall, and clearly felt that there was better opportunity for him to progress at Port Vale, despite their league positions at the moment. Interesting opening interview from him flat out saying Port Vale have got better players than Walsall, and that a lot of Walsall's better players were going to be being sold, and he felt like he would have to start from scratch. So, yeah, taking the move to a team in the same division, which is always strange. Perhaps maybe Port Vale, with that injection of money this season, maybe the deal just was too good to turn down for Clark.
Yeah, that leaves an opening for, I've already seen a small rumour about Dean Holden going back to Walsall this afternoon. So one of his former clubs. So that leaves it all open. So again, we've said it before, we said it again, managerial merry-go-round.
Yep.
More like musical chairs at the moment.
And on the topic of managerial merry-go-rounds, managerial movements, today, actually, pretty much as we're recording this, we've seen another managerial sacking, and it's come yet again from Barrow. seem to be rattling through the old managers in their first season in the Football League. And unfortunately, this time it's Jolly who's a victim of it. And it seems quite early to be doing that. Again, someone they allowed the money through a transfer window to bring in the players he wanted to. Okay, the form's not great. And, you know, you can't really argue with that. And they do look like they're sort of becoming a bit far away from safety at the moment. But yeah, another manager who's unfortunately lost their job in League Two.
You've got to fucking die to get 3 points.
Warnock with one of his famous interview rants there, and something that we've obviously decided that we're going to have a bit of a look at over the over our episodes is some of the funny things that managers come out with. And Andy, I know that you you found something quite funny that Warnock said over the weekend.
Yeah, I've got a feeling this feature could end up just being what's Warnock done now, or what's with Warnock lately.
What would Warnock do?
Yeah. What has Warnock done? So, yeah, just looking at the lighter side of some of the interviews, mainly post-match. And Warnock started with a good one here, talking about one of his players, Mark Bowler, who hasn't scored many goals, but apparently scores a few in training. And he's just kept going on in his post-match interview about how he's told Mark Bowler to shoot a lot. And I just look into it and think, you know, it's football. You've got to shoot to score a goal. And he's really taken the plaudits going, I told him to shoot. I told him. I kept saying to him, shoot. and he shoots. And by God, did he score. I think there was an even more bizarre Warnock moment, wasn't there?
There really, really was. Now, there's been a few players that seem to have really got Warnock this season for Middlesbrough. One of them was Paddy McNair, who seemed to come out of one of his favourites. But Dale Fry seems like he might have just taken the top spot in Warnock's eyes. Very bizarre, as you say, talking about going to see him in the injured players' changing rooms just to try and get some inspiration from him. Very odd indeed. Very, very odd.
I went in the back room the other night where the players were changing, and I said to him, I'd just come to look at you, Dale, because you give me such an inspiration, you.
Andy, I know you said we're going to be looking at the light-hearted side of some of these post-match interviews, but something that potentially isn't so light-hearted is that horrific run that we spoke about earlier for Bristol City. And obviously sat the manager, and Simpson's come in to do some of the work in terms of management. Now, he stepped up, obviously trying to inspire the players. And in his post-match interview, he said, to be honest, we just need to try and show a bit more quality, whether that be fighting for a goal, taking more shots, winning corners, or maybe even winning a throw-in.
Start small.
Well, easy targets, you know, just set them nice, easy targets to meet. And I'm not sure... Does the post-match kind of team talk? Oh, well done, lads. Lost again. But we won 3 throw-ins this week. You know, I mean, what sort of interview is that? The players and fans alike are looking to these people to try and lead the club out of this mess. And they're asking for throw-ins. So that was a highlight for me. It was then followed up by that Callas interview that I spoke about earlier. And he actually ended up doing a couple of interviews after the game, one where he blames everyone other than the defence, and one where he starts laying into some of the behaviour on social media from Bristol City fans. And he actually ends up swearing at the fans, saying it's not great, some of the stuff that he's read on there. So pretty toxic down there in Bristol, but also providing us, this podcast, with some fantastic content.
I think how you've got through there without a Homer Simpson reference or anything is crazy to me anyway, because you missed out the last thing he said as well. He ended the press conference by saying in Bristol, first you get the throw-in, then you get the power, then you get the women.
In America, first you get the sugar, then you get the power, then you'll get the women.
Luke's quiz. Edit that in.
Right, this week we've not only got a quiz on your footballing knowledge, we've got a quiz on your memory as well. There's a lot of answers in this one, but all from this season. I'm looking for players to have scored a hat-trick in the EFL this season. 33 hat-tricks in the EFL this season scored by 30 different players. So three of them have taken home a couple of match balls already. It is James to go first.
Big memory test. Have we actually been watching the EFL, you ask? I think I will start with Adam Armstrong for Blackburn.
In the 5-0 win against Wickham at the start of the season.
Ivan Toney.
Took him till the 7-2 win against Wickham as well.
Mullins.
Yeah, Paul Mullins scored two hat-tricks this season.
Giovanni Brown.
Oh, yes. A pod favourite.
Good answer. Good answer. Pod favourite, not only a pod favourite because we liked his goals, but also because, of course, he is on the front cover of the podcast.
Max Waters.
Oh, he has. He's on my list. 12th of December.
My zenness is completely gone.
That is perfect.
We haven't named a League One player yet. It's just like I'm going through my head and trying to think of actual teams. And then saying, do they have a striker?
Do they
I can't
exist?
Even think of any teams. Gonna go for it. But I'm not happy. Johnson, Clark, Harris.
In the 4-1 win against Rochdale in December.
Good answer, and one that I should have been getting before now. I'm going to go for an
Exeter player. Quick look at Luke's face to see if he's got any of those on his list. I'm going to go for Bowman. Is it Ryan Bowman? Is it? Oh, it might not be Ryan Bowman.
It is Ryan Bowman. He scored two hat-tricks.
Two.
November and December.
Again. Can I say him again?
No, if I turn.
Andy's turn. I'll say Ryan Bowman, please.
Something. I'm going to say it, but could have been last season. James Vaughan.
Oh, no.
So close.
My only other guess, and I was literally out on my arse here, and it's only because we spoke about it very recently, was we talked about the who scores getting 10 out of 10. And Andy said Kanyos. That it was Sergi Kanyos.
A few main ones.
Collins. It's got to be Collins, yeah.
Yeah, Sergi Kanyos, James Collins for Luton, Marcus Harness and Ziriki Dembele for Peterborough, another one. Malik
Wilkes.
Got one. Yeah, Malik Wilkes, what you mentioned earlier on
I mentioned him today.
And an obvious one, Charlie Wyke. He's got four.
Oh, no.
We literally spoke about it last week. Mate, you see, the thing is, we do know the answers. It's just the pressure.
It is the pressure. It's different. It's different when you're in.
I was zen, and then that whole thing with Max Waters has done me.
And yet again, it's that time of the week. Goal of the week, there were some screamers and some not so good goals across the EFL this week. Plenty for you to take your pick from. And I think we'll start this week with Andy. What have you brought along for your goal of the week?
In the past, James, I've made a few picks that are based on goals that aren't traditionally good. Who says what's traditionally good? Dwayne Holmes.
Ripped up the rule book.
Dwayne Holmes. He scored two for Huddersfield. I believe it was the last one, wasn't it? To make it 4-1.
Oh, yes.
It was.
It was sort of Cristiano Ronaldo at his best, the way it started so high and then just dipped into the top corner. Like, it looked like it was going to fly into Rose Ed and then it just dipped. He's on the left-hand side of the box, and as he's about to hit it, I don't even know if he knows, but it just bobbles and he hits it, so pretty much on the volley of nothing. And it has just flown and dipped into the top corner. And it's just a real shame that that game was pretty much already over and it wasn't more of a meaningful goal. So that might go against it, but I think if someone hits the ball that well, I've got to bring it along, and that's exactly what I've done.
That is exactly what you've done, and I struggle to argue with it. Like, that bobble is... My initial thoughts are, God, he's done well to hit it on the bobble. But like you say, I'm not sure he knows. It's actually teed it up perfectly. It's like a little mole has popped up from the ground, nodded it on for him to smash
assist
him.
Assist for the mole.
Now there's a high risk, high reward you didn't think you'd hear. But save it. But yeah, great hit from Holmes. And Luke, let me invite you in then. What have you got?
Plenty of terrible goals, but I haven't picked one either. Dylan Bahambula for Oldham. His team are down to 10 men. He's 2-1 down, and he picks up the ball on the right hand side. I don't think I've seen anyone shoot from that position before. He knocks it away from two players. Doesn't even look up to pick out a pass. Doesn't look up to see where the goalkeeper is. He just thumps it, and he hits it with his laces, and it bends and dips. And I don't think if the goalkeeper started in that corner, he would have been able to save it. It just touches the underside of the bar as it flies into the top corner. And he saved his team a point when really, down to 10 men, they didn't stand a chance. I've seen lots of little puns about he's bahamboozled the goalkeeper there, but we'll ignore those. It's just a stunning goal. Saved his team a point. Lovely stuff.
He has really sold that this week, Andy. Really sold it.
I enjoyed that goal as well. It was similar to Holmes's goal, where it couldn't have been more top corner if it tried, could it? But the fact that he said bahamboozled and then said he's not going to say it after he's already said it, that was a bit sort of manager's cliche interview type thing, wasn't it? So minus one.
It was. Minus one, could do better. Now, don't shoot me down too early. I've also seen, yes, I am referring to Quest. I have seen chat of a little deflection for the goal. Comes off the back of month, goal of the month, puns if you want to. Yeah, come off the back of the defender and gone in. So am I willing to vote for a deflected goal, I hear you ask?
Well should we hear yours
certainly,
first?
Yes.
Every week.
You know, talking about deflections and things. Let's see what you've brought onto the table. We've got a great goal with deflection.
You're probably not wrong to bring me in at this point because
you're the only one left.
You've referred. Well, I am the only one left, yes. And I suppose, you'd be waiting a while for my goal if you didn't invite me in. But unless you don't care, of course. You talked about the fact that you've brought along a few goals that aren't of the highest quality. I've brought one along this week which really fits in with your two, a goal of some serious quality. It's Miller for Bolton. Now, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's just an unbelievable goal. The ball's gone up in the sky from a block, headed towards the goalkeeper. It's Oxley in goal, and all he really needs to do is tip the ball over the net. But instead, he palms it straight out to Miller, who taps it in from 4 yards. And that, for me, is goal of the week. It really is spectacular. There was some close contenders for me. There was Clark Harris tackling the defender from a yard out and going in. But I thought, no, I better go for a goal from distance. It's Miller, 4 yards out. Goalkeeper should tip it over. Palms it out to him. Stunning. Your silence fills me with confidence.
I am just surprised that you haven't brought Clark Harris along, actually, because honourable mention for that once again there. Just literally a kick straight into a player when he's about a foot out and it's hit him and gone in. But they all count.
My other honourable mention, and I felt like I couldn't bring it along because I knew you would deliberately not vote for it, was Tyler Walker's goal.
Next. So I think goal of the week this week. I mean, I struggle to see how someone could not give it to Dwayne Holmes there, one of the players of the week. Huge result for Huddersfield. And to do that against a team who have been flying like Swansea have, got to go for it, in my opinion.
I think I'm going to concede it this week.
Oh, you just knew.
It's the fact that it's like goal of the week, it's the cherry on top of the podcast. That goal was the cherry on top of that huge win for Huddersfield. The fact that it's bobbled up and he's still caught it with that connection. If it doesn't bobble up like that, he's probably rolling it out for a goal kick. But he's hit it so well. There's no saving that. It is like prime Ronaldo. What an Andy.
Thanks, Luke. Thanks, guys.
It's actually a real shame you voted for that because I was just about to vote for Bambula. But, didn't. And actually, the way you've described it, 3-0 to Holmesy.
What on Holmes.
Talking of losing again, I'm not sure we've ever won this season. It is, of course, our high risk, high reward. Yep. Unfortunately for our listeners, we will be making some more predictions. But before we do that, I just wanted to have a quick look back at what we predicted last week. We'll start.
Please no. Please no.
We start with probably our most successful candidate from last week, which was Andy. With I wouldn't necessarily have considered it a high risk, but go on, we'll go with it. He predicted Pukki, Buendia and Cantwell all to score for the second game running against Coventry. And Pukki, tick. Buendia, tick. Cantwell, absolutely not.
Yes. So,
didn't come in, but it was close.
They both scored before half-time as well, hadn't they? So, I mean, there's Cantwell had a long time to score, didn't he?
He not only did he have a long time to score, he also had an open goal which he managed to fall over the ball from. And I was cheering for two reasons at that point. A, because it wasn't a goal against Coventry, and B, because Andy didn't get the high risk, high reward. So Andy, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, but not this week. I stuck Thanks. With the same game and said that we would somehow keep a clean sheet and beat Norwich. So let's quickly gloss over that one. Absolutely not happy. Which really then leads us on to the third one. One that, Andy, I don't know about you, but I didn't really keep my eye on this one. So, Luke, football in the groin?
Well, I haven't seen anything about anyone getting hit in the groin with a football. I did get a message saying someone got hit on the leg. That was quite close in the Coventry game. But I'm not going to look into it too much, just to try and win a high risk, high reward. I haven't won one so far, so I don't know what I'm missing out on anyway. So let's quickly move on to this week's predictions.
Yeah, let's. And just a little bit of advice, maybe go for something that is actually measurable this week rather than something that requires 90 minutes of every single EFL game being watched. I don't know. Is there any takers for this week who'd like to offer up a high risk, high reward, or would you like me to make a fool of myself first?
Make your fool.
Here we go then. So I've had a little look through the midweek fixtures, and I can't help but find myself looking forward to a game in League Two on Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. It's a bit of a clash between Cambridge and Cheltenham. Both teams looking to kick on. Cambridge looking like they've got loads of goals in on this season, especially at the moment. And Cheltenham obviously looking to recover from their weekend's result. I think they'll do just that. I think we're going to see loads of goals. I'm going to go for a double figures in one game. Cheltenham versus Cambridge, or Cambridge versus Cheltenham. There's going to be 10 goals. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Thank you very much.
That really is high reward, isn't it, for everyone involved?
So you've heard mine. I've laid it all out there for you. 10 goals in a game, double figures in a midweek match. Who's up next?
Well, from a high risk, high reward we can all get behind to one that all the Ipswich fans will get behind. We talked about Doncaster against Hull playing out of a good 3-3 draw. Coppinger with, last minute equaliser. Ipswich have their away at Hull midweek, and they've got Doncaster at home next weekend. I reckon Paul Lambert's going to be sacked, and he's going to swear in his last post-match on the way out.
I, for one, can't wait to hear that post-match interview, and halfway through he just loses it and goes, "Baby," just some poor admin bloke working on behalf of Ipswich Town Football Club trying to find the points he's swearing at and dropping in little beeps. So I've got a 10-goal thriller. Luke's brought along a managerial sacking swearing combination. And Andy, that just leaves us with your high risk, high reward. Don't let us down.
No pressure. Well, I've sort of got two here. And let me tell you why. Because my first one is involving a certain someone who may or may not be involved this weekend. Next weekend. It's Darren Drysdale.
You just wanted to hear it, didn't you?
Now, last weekend, yesterday, Saturday the 20th, he was supposed to be doing Southend v Bolton, taken off that game. I think enough time has passed now that next weekend he will be doing a game. I'm going to say he is going to send off more than one player next weekend.
Not only is he going to be refereeing, he's also going to send off more than one player.
Yeah, I think there could be red cards galore in his next game, because I just don't think the respect will be there anymore, Sarge. But if he's not involved, I don't want to lose my option to be highly rewarded as it goes. So I'm looking at Swansea v Bristol City. I'm thinking Bristol City might win that. Not only win it, just bounce back triumphantly. Bristol against South Wales once again. I'm going for Swansea 0, Bristol City 3 as my high risk, high reward. But as I say, hopefully we won't even have to use that one, because Sergeant Drysdale will be refereeing.
Brilliant. Couple of things. Didn't have it in you to predict that Coventry would beat Swansea. That's thanks for that. And what happens if Drysdale does referee, but the Bristol City prediction comes in?
I'll leave that for you two to decide what happens there.
Nope.
Well, boys, it's been an episode full of laughs, to be fair, this weekend, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So thanks very much for joining me. And I think all it really leaves me to do is say see you next week and enjoy watching those games.
Yep. Cheers, guys. See you next Monday.
See you next week.
Middlesbrough fans would agree with me, I think, after his horror spell there in the end. So maybe we'll nick that playoffs there.
And there's your outside.
The playoff spear.
Space or place? Space or place?
I'll go with Asper.
Splur.
Oh, that was good before that as well.
Bristol City are seriously struggling.
What's that?
It just came out wrong. I couldn't make the noise wouldn't work.
The noise? That's your mouth.